Welcome back to Through the Word. Pastor Jonathan here, along with Pastor Chris. And today, in Exodus 37, we continue along with Oholiab and Bezalel as they use their spiritual gift of furniture construction.
Now, that might sound funny to you, but remember a few chapters back when God told Moses that these two men would be filled with the power of the Spirit to construct everything needed for the worship of the Lord. And today, that's furniture. Well, no sofa and love seat. But there are a table and a lamp, so let's jump back in to the construction of the tabernacle.
Now, remember, the inside of the tabernacle was split into two portions, the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. Priests who entered the tabernacle would enter through the curtain into the Holy Place, where there were three pieces of furniture, the table of bread, the lampstand, and the altar of incense. Beyond that was another curtain, and inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant.
As we go through this chapter, a lot of it will sound familiar. We read already the directions for the furniture given to Moses. This time around, the description of each piece is pretty much identical to what we read before. The difference comes in the first two words of almost every paragraph. Bezalel made the ark. He made the atonement cover. They made the table. They made the lampstand. This is the exciting part. The blueprints were good, but the real thing is the real thing. So as you read through this time, read it differently. For God's people, these chapters were not about repetition. They were about moving God's plan into reality. And what about us? Think about this. Hebrews 8 tells us that the tabernacle we read about here is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. That means that even the real thing on earth was actually just a physical blueprint of the reality in heaven. And as Moses gets the excitement of seeing the tabernacle go from instruction to construction, I think there is a foreshadowing for us of that day when our faith will be sight. So let's read.
Verse 1. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold, both inside and out, and made a gold molding around it.
He cast 4 gold rings for it, and fastened them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then he made poles of acacia wood, and overlaid them with gold. And he inserted the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it.
The Ark of the Covenant was a small box, about 4 foot by 2 foot, and about 2 feet tall. It was made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. As we talked about yesterday, the acacia wood was a symbol of the humanity of Jesus as he took on human flesh with its weaknesses. But he was also God, as symbolized by the gold overlay.
The ark had a gold ring on each corner, 4 of them, and the 2 poles, also of gold-plated acacia wood, were placed through the rings, and the priests would use the poles to carry the ark. Everything in the tabernacle, even the tent itself, was made to be portable. And not just when the people were traveling, but even when Israel was in the land through the time of the judges. Even after they had dwelt in the promised land for several centuries, the tabernacle would serve as a reminder that they were pilgrims and sojourners passing through this world. Not until the time of Solomon in 1 Kings, around the 900s BC, would Israel have a temple that could not be moved.
Now let's move on to the coolest lid ever made for a box, the atonement cover, also known as the mercy seat. Verse 6, he made the atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. Then he made 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. He made 1 cherub on one end and the second cherub on the other. At the 2 ends, he made them of one piece with the cover. The cherubim had their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim faced each other, looking towards the cover.
The ark was a box, and the atonement cover was the lid, with 2 cherubim made of pure gold on top. Cherubim are angels, and they faced each other with their wings spread out toward each other. Interesting, carved images of God were banned by the 10 Commandments, but carving an angel was fine. Just don't worship the carving. That's why the cherubim's wings spread upward in a posture of worship of the one enthroned there.
So you know how angels posture their wings when they worship?
Well, no, but this is a picture of heaven, and Revelation gives us a glimpse into heaven where the angels are worshiping God around the throne.
Nice. So what is the purpose of this atonement cover, besides being a lid for the ark?
Some translations call it the mercy seat, but the word behind it means more than just mercy, which we usually associate with kindness and forgiveness. The word in Hebrew here is a contraction of the word for a covering and the word for atonement. Atonement is a covering for sin, a price paid for the wrong done in order to cover it and make it right, to reconcile the sinner with the one sinned against. Now that's important here because back in chapter 25, God told Moses that he would meet the people here above the ark at the atonement cover. This is what the whole thing is all about, the tabernacle, a place for God to dwell. At the heart of it, the atonement cover, the place where God meets us. Not in the ark where the law was kept, but above it, at the place of atonement. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the blood of the sin offering was sprinkled on the atonement cover. Because even under the old covenant, God chose to meet his people at the place of mercy, not at the law alone. The Israelites would never be able to keep the law perfectly. They would need the mercy of God to live.
Even for Christians today, it's easy to try to meet God at the law. We measure our holiness by the length of our devotions, how many times we pray, how much we give. But we must remember we meet with God by his unearned, undeserved favor and mercy. We can all agree that we are saved by his grace and mercy, but we must remember that it is the same grace and mercy that sanctifies, that washes us, that keeps us in relationship with him.
Let's move on to the other furniture in the tabernacle. Verse 10. They made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Then they overlaid it with pure gold and made a gold molding around it. The table was small, 3 feet by 1.5 feet, and a little over 2 feet tall. On this table was placed the bread of the presence, 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes of Israel. But there were also bowls and pitchers for pouring out drink offerings, which were offerings of the fruit of the vine.
A table specifically for bread and wine. In the presence of God, there is fellowship, there is communion. And this table so clearly pictures Christ's sacrifice. In John 6, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And just before his sacrifice, he took the bread and wine at the Passover table and said that they were his body and blood.
I love this picture. Any Jew would recognize, and really most cultures throughout history know, that setting a table with bread and wine means time for fellowship. Humans connect with each other over food, and God wants his people to connect with him. Across from the table was the golden lampstand. Verse 17, they made the lampstand of pure gold. They hammered out its base and shaft, and made its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms of one piece with them. 6 branches extended from the sides of the lampstand, 3 on one side and 3 on the other. 3 cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms were on one branch, 3 on the next branch, and the same for all 6 branches extending from the lampstand.
The lampstand held 7 lamps, filled twice daily by the priests with new olive oil. It was shaped like a tree with branches, buds, and flowers. In a way, this lampstand harkens back to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden.
It was the only source of illumination in the tabernacle. Without its light, the tent would be filled with darkness. In this way, it also points to Jesus, who proclaimed in John 8 while standing in the temple courtyard that he is the light of the world. Without him, there would be nothing but darkness. Interesting, the lamp has 1 central light with 6 branches. In the Bible, 6 is the number of man, while 7 is the number of completion or perfection. Some teachers see here the 6 representing God's people. You are the light of the world, and the central one representing Jesus, and the olive oil representing the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be his light.
Verse 25, they made the altar of incense out of acacia wood. It was square, 1 cubit long and 1 cubit wide and 2 cubits high, its horns of one piece with it. They overlaid the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold and made a gold molding around it.
The final piece of furniture in the tabernacle was the altar of incense, Twice a day, Aaron and his sons were to offer incense before the Lord. Throughout the Bible, burning incense is associated with prayer. In the gospel story, Zechariah was burning incense on this altar when the angel announced that John the Baptist would be born as an answer to Zechariah's prayers. In Revelation, bowls of incense offered to the Lord are twice called the prayers of the saints. This altar represents the prayers of God's people and also speaks of one of Jesus' current roles. That is, Jesus prays for us. Hebrews 7 tells us that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us.
Well, that's it for today. Go read Exodus 37 and join us tomorrow as we see the furniture of the tabernacle built on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.